This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Christopher Greger? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Christopher Greger was born on May 21, 1992, and lived in the state of New Jersey. He attended Monroe Township High School, where he was an all-state defensive lineman. After graduating, he briefly attended a university in Middletown, Connecticut. In November 2010, Christopher was arrested for allegedly stealing from a woman's room in a dormitory and attacking two male students who tried to stop him during his escape. He allegedly used his fists and elbows in the attack. In 2013, Christopher started working as a marketing intern in Florida. After that, he was a sales associate. In 2016, he earned a bachelor's degree in psychology from a different college and started working as a real estate agent in New Jersey. In June 2017, Christopher started working as a math teacher in Baltimore, Maryland. Between August 2017 and April 2018, he was charged with a number of offenses, including assault, robbery, and destruction of public property. Starting in February 2018, Christopher worked as a real estate agent in New Jersey. In 2019, he earned a master's degree in secondary education and teaching. As far as romantic contact, Christopher became involved with a teenager named Brianna Michelow. On May 1, 2014, 17-year-old Brianna had a son named Corey Michelow. Christopher was the father, but he did not know that at the time. He only learned about this later when Brianna sought child support. From that point on, Christopher and Brianna shared joint custody. In March 2020, Christopher was awarded full custody of Corey because Brianna had difficulty regulating her intake of substances. Christopher lived in an apartment in Barnegat, New Jersey, and Brianna lived in Englishtown, which is about an hour north. There was a lot of tension between Christopher and Brianna. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On March 20, 2021, Christopher and his son entered the fitness center for the Atlantic Heights apartment complex. This is the apartment complex where Christopher lived. A surveillance camera captured their activity. Initially, Christopher was lifting weights as his son was on a treadmill. At some point, Christopher went over to the treadmill and increased the speed. Corey was unable to keep up and fell off the treadmill several times. Christopher could be seen picking Corey up and putting him back on the treadmill. After a few of the falls, Corey stood up on his own and tried to jump back onto the moving treadmill to continue running. He fell, slammed into the belt of the treadmill, and was thrown backward onto the floor. At one point during this ordeal, Christopher appeared to bite Corey's head. Corey sustained bruises during this incident. When his mother, Brianna, saw them, she filed an emergency order for custody, but it was denied on April 1, 2021. That same day, Brianna picked up Corey for scheduled visitation. She brought him to see a pediatrician. Eventually, Corey was evaluated in a hospital. He was discharged at 1 a.m., now on April 2. Brianna kept Corey that night and brought him back to Christopher at 9:03 a.m. At 3:48 p.m., still on April 2, Christopher brought Corey to the Southern Ocean Medical Center in Manahawkin. He told medical providers that Corey woke up from a nap, slurring his words, stumbling, nauseated, and experiencing shortness of breath. As a CT scan was being administered, Corey started having seizures. Medical providers attempted to save his life, but they were not successful. Corey was pronounced dead at 5:03 p.m. Christopher did not wait around to see what would happen next. Rather, he left the hospital. He drove to Tennessee before returning to New Jersey. On the next day, April 3, an autopsy was performed on Corey's body. The medical examiner ruled that Corey's death was caused by blunt force injuries with cardiac and liver contusions, acute inflammation, and sepsis. At that time, the manner of death was ruled undetermined. On July 7, 2021, Christopher was arrested and charged with endangering the welfare of a child in relation to the treadmill incident from March 20. Even though this was a serious charge, falling on the treadmill did not appear to cause Corey's death. Christopher was released on bail. In September 2021, Corey's case was reviewed by a forensic pathologist. The pathologist believed that 4 to 12 hours prior to Corey's death, he sustained blunt impact injuries to the chest and abdomen with laceration of the heart, left pulmonary contusion, and laceration and contusion of the liver. On March 3, 2022, Corey's manner of death was ruled homicide. On March 9, Christopher Greger was arrested again and additionally charged with first-degree murder. The state claimed that he knowingly caused serious bodily injury resulting in the death of another. This time, Christopher was held without bail. The state put together their theory of the crime. It was fairly straightforward. They believed that Christopher severely beat Corey during the time he was alone with him on April 2, 2021. On April 30, 2024, over 3 years after Corey's death, Christopher's trial started. At the time I'm making this video, the trial has been going on for 3 days. Now moving to my analysis. Christopher Greger maintains his innocence. His defense attorney argued that the treadmill incident is completely separate from Corey's death. Corey died as a result of sepsis caused by pneumonia, and it had nothing to do with Christopher's behavior. The state, of course, disagrees. They believe it is exceedingly clear that Christopher murdered his son. This brings me to the question, is Christopher guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. On April 2, 2021, Christopher took Corey to a hospital where Corey died. No one else was with Corey in the hours leading up to his death. An expert for the state said that Corey died from blunt impact injuries. Christopher left the hospital and drove to Tennessee rather than waiting. About 2 weeks before Corey died, surveillance video captured Christopher mistreating Corey in the treadmill incident. Corey told a medical provider that his father forced him to run on the treadmill because he was too fat. The police said they could smell cleaned or dried vomit in Corey's bedroom in Christopher's apartment. On April 3, the day after Corey died, Brianna sent him a text message at 6:02 p.m. saying that the police were looking for him. At 6:09 p.m., Christopher used his phone to search the internet for the term, "Can your phone be tracked in airplane mode?" A minute later, he searched, "Can my car be tracked?" and "Will red marks turn into bruises?" Christopher then sent a text message to his parents saying he would not be back for a while and asked if they would take care of his dog. On April 4 at 9:58 p.m., Christopher searched, quote, "There was a murder determined from an autopsy. How long to file charges?" unquote. At 10:21 a.m., he searched, quote, "How long after an autopsy to file charges?" unquote. At 12:17 p.m., Christopher sent a message to a woman on Tinder saying that he was going to see his brother in Los Angeles. In reality, Christopher was in Tennessee. He stayed there for one night before heading back to New Jersey. Brianna claimed that she reported many instances of mistreatment perpetrated by Christopher against Corey, but no one listened to her. Moving to the exculpatory factors, Christopher's defense indicated that experts would testify that Corey died from sepsis caused by pneumonia. As far as the other injuries observed on Corey, life-saving techniques used by medical providers could have been the cause. Even though the treadmill incident looks bad for Christopher, it seems clear that the injuries sustained during that incident did not lead to Corey's death. Corey was evaluated by medical providers after that incident. Based on the timeline, it is possible that the fatal injuries Corey sustained occurred before he was dropped off to Christopher. Corey was in a hospital being evaluated until 1 a.m. on April 2. He was with his mother at this time. She dropped him off to Christopher just after 9 a.m. Christopher brought Corey to a different hospital where Corey died just after 5 p.m. According to a forensic pathologist, the injuries that killed Corey occurred 4 to 12 hours prior to his death. This means that Corey was attacked sometime between 5 a.m. and 1 p.m. During the first 4 hours of that time range, Corey was with Brianna. Christopher's defense argued that when Brianna took her son to the hospital, she was told that he might have sepsis as a result of complications from pneumonia. Brianna chose to take him out of the facility against medical advice and took him to Christopher. If she was so worried about Christopher harming Corey, why did she do that? On the stand, Brianna admitted that she regularly used methamphetamine years earlier. Just before Corey died on April 2, Brianna texted her boyfriend and asked him to get her methamphetamine. She admitted that after Corey died, she threw bones, eggs, rocks, and dead fish at the house where Christopher's parents lived. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I think that Christopher Greger is guilty of murder? Yes, I believe he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. When considering the treadmill incident, it's reasonable to believe that Christopher regularly mistreated Corey. The alleged fatal violence perpetrated on April 2 was probably just another attack in a long series. Christopher may not have intended to kill Corey, but he knew his actions could lead to death. There is no way to be sure about what a jury might do, but I would be surprised if Christopher was acquitted. When speaking about the treadmill incident, his defense attorney told the jury, "You're not going to like him." At least on this point, the attorney's assessment is accurate. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Christopher Greger is immature, impulsive, irresponsible, aggressive, vindictive, and sadistic. There are many reasons that Christopher allegedly mistreated Corey. For example, he wanted to teach Brianna a lesson. He was angry with her. It was his way of getting revenge on her. Or it's possible that Corey was a constant reminder of Brianna. Christopher saw Brianna in Corey, like he realized that Corey had some of her traits. This made Christopher upset. He wanted to eradicate those traits from Corey. After allegedly murdering Corey, Christopher fled because he knew he was guilty. He searched for the term, "there was a murder," determined from an autopsy, how long to file charges, because he knew that he had committed murder. After Christopher was arrested, he was offered a plea bargain. The terms indicated that he would plead guilty to both the murder and the endangering charge in exchange for 30 years in prison. Normally, in New Jersey, a prisoner must serve 85% of their sentence, but the terms of this plea bargain indicated that Christopher would serve the entire 30-year term. There was no way to get released before 30 years. This meant that instead of being eligible for parole at the age of 57, which factors in the 85% rule, he would have been in prison until the age of 62. One can appreciate why Christopher would not be excited to spend 30 years in prison, and worse yet, 30 years in New Jersey. But the plea bargain Christopher was offered was actually a good deal. The minimum sentence he is facing if convicted of murder is 30 years in prison. The maximum is life in prison. In addition, the expected sentence for the endangerment charge is between 5 and 10 years. Rejecting the plea deal just doesn't make any sense at all, and supports the theory that Christopher is living in a fantasy world where he can avoid all responsibility for his behavior. Now moving to my final thoughts. As I mentioned, Brianna said that she alerted the authorities many times about Christopher's bad behavior, but no one listened to her. It's possible that she was ignored because of her history of substance use, or simply because she was involved in a custody dispute. It is not unusual for individuals in these types of disputes to lie about each other. The lesson learned in this case is how it's important for the authorities to investigate all allegations, even those made by people who may have an ulterior motive. One thing about this case is certain. The circumstances conspired in such a way that Corey did not have any chance of remaining safe. The treadmill incident is a metaphor for his impossible situation. No matter how fast he tried to run, there was no way to escape.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Hello, this is Gary Chahot welcoming you to check out the French History Podcast. Our main show covers the history of France from the first humans until present. If you liked Mike Duncan's The History of Rome and wanted a similar program covering the land of beauty, culture, and love, we are exactly that. We also host world-renowned scholars who have delivered guest episodes on their specialties, including 18th-century pirates, revolutionary booksellers in 20th-century Paris, the special friendship between the Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, and numerous others. Learn what you love and listen to the French History Podcast today.